Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
What a start to 2026. Hey, Aaron Flint here. Great to be with you in this new year here on Montana Talks. I put out a late request to Senator Steve Daines's office. I said, hey, would the senator want to join us on the show this Monday? And you know what? I figured if anything would get the senator on the show this last minute, it's got to be Montana State Bobcats playing in the national championship. Senator, you're probably the biggest Bobcat booster out there. You got to be really excited for some Monday Night Football.
Aaron, it's been a long time. It was 41 years ago that the Cats won the national championship. That's the year I graduated from Montana State, 1984. But the funny part about it, when I tell people that, they'll go, oh, my word, it must have been a great way to end your college years there at Montana State. But if you think about it, the 84 championship team would have been the class of 85 that graduated. So when I graduated in 84, the Bobcats that I watched would have been the fall of 83, and the Cats that year went 1-10. We were the worst teams in Cat history. That was Dave Arnold that turned the whole thing around and took a 1-10 team from 1983 to a national championship in 84. In 84, when they started the season, they lost two games. They were 2-2 after their first four games, and they never lost another game all the way to the national championship.
Wow, that's incredible. I shouldn't even tell you this, but I was 4 years old the last time the Bobcats won a national championship. So
that sounds like a Grizzly joke right there.
Well, it was fun, though. I was talking earlier this morning. I caught up with William Lamberty, who's the head of MSU Bobcat Sports. And while I'm on the phone with him, he says, hey, good morning, guys. You know, some of the players are walking in, having breakfast. And what an incredible moment this has got to be in Nashville for these guys right now.
It really is. You know, Bill Lamberty, I coached his son, Nate, when I was going to college at Montana State. So that tells you something about how long Bill Lamberty's been around as well. It's been a long, long time for these Bobcats. And, you know, the bookies have a spread of 10 points in the Cats' favor. We'll see. Usually that means nothing. Usually better to come in as an underdog than as the favorite in a championship game like that. But you look at Illinois State. You know, they beat South Dakota. They beat South Dakota State. They beat North Dakota State over the course of the season. They lost to North Dakota State in the regular season, and then they beat them, of course, in the playoffs. But this is a real team. They have got a good football team. It's going to be certainly a great game. We've got two of our kids down there, two Bobcat children of the Daines family. Our daughter Annie, who was actually the MSU homecoming queen back in 2011, and then our son Michael graduated from Montana State. They've been down the last couple of days enjoying Nashville, and I've been getting lots of pictures and videos from the Bobcats invading downtown Nashville. So I think we've got a good crowd showing up, and it's going to be a great game.
7,000 Bobcat fans were at the big party. They had the one and only Flint Rasmussen was the MC. Just looks like they're having an incredible time down there. All right, Senator, stand by. We'll come back to Senator Steve Daines right after this.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great to have Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines and Montana's biggest Bobcat booster, Senator Steve Daines, with us here. Of course, you guys know I'm a Montana Grizzly. He's a Montana State Bobcat. Senator, we were joking during the break. I feel bad for, you know, Bobby Houck. What a great guy. What a great coach. What an incredible season he had and the Grizz had. And, you know, I mean, they went to the Final Four, the semifinals, but yet you lose to that one team. Yeah, what an incredible testament just to Montana football, Montana Dakota football. I had a great phone call from Mike Puffhausen in Butte earlier this morning, who played on the Carroll College championship teams, and he just said it so well about what an incredible testament to the football in this region, that the top names for so many years have been Montana, Montana State, South Dakota, South Dakota State, North Dakota State University, you name it, right?
You know, it's the way football should be. And it's heartland kind of football. The best part about it, too, Aaron, is how many kids on the field there are players from Montana. I love it, you know, when Bryce Drew picks off a pass, you know, a kid from Millstone, Montana. You know, we hunt antelope just east of there so many years. And every time I drive by Millstone, I think about now the Grebes, just down to earth, real Montana Cowboys that have stepped it up and are playing now at the highest level. But this, and just the legacy of this rivalry. Aaron, you and I were chatting when my mom was pregnant with me at the University of Montana, putting my dad through school. He was in the Marine Corps there in Missoula, and he would go to weekend drills with another fellow Marine named Bob Houck Sr. So they knew each other way back. And in fact, they were Sigma Chi's together at University of Montana. So I know Coach Houck probably has a little smirk on his face knowing that this Bobcat named Dave's over in Bozeman has got a daddy who's a rabid grizzly.
So are you're going to be able to make the game, though? It sounds like you and Senator Sheehy should be able to make it, because usually it's on a Saturday, and so you don't have to interrupt day-to-day business. But, yeah, with it being on a Monday, you'll be able to make it.
I told John Thune, our majority leader, I told him ahead of time coming into the Christmas break. I said, John, I hope you understand that if the Cats get to the chipper there, it's a Monday night, and we're going to be there in Nashville. He said, oh, of course, because, you know, he's a South Dakota State and South Dakota guy, and I guarantee you, had either one of those teams been in the chipper Monday night, John would have been there as well. So Sheehy and I will both be there. I know Troy Downing is going to be there as well. I saw a picture of him already, and I know the governor and the first lady. So it's going to be a great night tonight in Nashville. Weather looks good. Temperatures look pretty good. No rain. Beautiful field at Vandy Stadium, holds 42,000, twice the size of the Frisco Stadium. It's going to be a great night.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I think this is in a way, it almost feels like deja vu, because almost exactly 1 year ago, we were talking with, you know, you mentioned the Grebe brothers. I had their mom on the show with us. She's one of our incredible soldiers. You know, she's, I think, maybe a full-bird colonel now. If not, she was a lieutenant colonel at the time. And so just great folks. And we were, you know, but I think this is the year they're going to pull it off. So we'll see tonight. Senator, while I got you just a couple more minutes here to go, got to get your reaction to the incredible news from Saturday morning, the takedown of this narco-terrorist Nicolai Maduro. Look, we've been talking about illegal aliens, the drugs in Montana. We've had Trende Aragua thugs busted in Montana. Maduro was the guy sending them to Montana.
Aaron, the TDA guys, there was a bust right here in Bozeman. There was a bust up in the Flathead right here in the backyard. But before we just talk about Maduro, let's just say what needs to be said over and over again. What an incredible operation by the U.S. military. Led by those Delta Force great patriots, the very best of the very best of the very best, who flawlessly executed a mission that was high risk, went right in the belly of the beast there to extract Maduro without a single U.S. casualty. That sends such an incredible peace through strength message around the world in terms of our capabilities and our willingness to use it as needed. But it's amazing. Our son, Michael, who's down in Nashville for the Cat game, he texted me a picture last night. There were some liberal elites from some of the universities there who were on the streets protesting what happened in Venezuela. And I thought, Michael, said, think about this. The Venezuelans and Caracas are cheering about the tyrant being toppled. And yet you've got liberals here in America who are disgusted with actually working to restore freedom in Venezuela.
Well, yeah, there were some of the Democrat Socialists of Western Montana, the Democrats in Missoula, were protesting on the bridge that they have to tear down in Missoula. And everybody is just mocking these guys. In fact, I reached out to Sandy Vasica, who was on the lone common sense one on the city council there, one of them. She says, boy, they went from no kings to wanting a king pretty darn quick.
That's well said. Well, you think about the direct threat here to our homeland. Under Joe Biden's watch, cocaine deaths rose 80%. Where does the cocaine come from? It comes from Colombia, trafficked through Venezuela to the United States. So this is the war we have on drugs. that Maduro is right in the middle of, whether it's the cocaine they're sending to America or it's the oil that's being diverted to our adversaries around the world. And remember, this is in our hemisphere.
Right.
This is 1,000 miles from the coast of Florida. This is where we need to protect our homeland. And you can't just keep sitting back in a crouched position playing defense. At times, you got to make offensive strikes. Think about that football game tonight, Aaron.
That's right.
If the Cats only put the defense on the field, you can't win the game. You got to go on offense at times, and you should be limited. I'm not suggesting, I don't support doing this often, but at times, you got to have the guts, the moral clarity that President Trump and his team has. I could not be more proud of President Trump. By the way,
it's morning in Montana. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, great now to have Leon Costello with us, the Montana State University Athletics Director. Mr. Costello, thanks for calling in. I know it's just a crazy busy day following an incredibly exciting weekend for you in Nashville. I got to ask you first, when you first woke up this morning, what was that moment like?
It felt like a game day. I always put out a tweet around 7 o'clock every game day. It's just my coffee mug and, tell everybody to rise and shine. It's game day. And so it's kind of routine for game day. So doing that and getting in the rhythm of the day has felt like it feels like a Saturday, right? Like it's a Saturday game day, but a little extra excitement is in the air just with what's on the line, and everybody's really excited to kick it off tonight.
Yeah, in a way, I was telling Senator Steve Daines just a few minutes ago, it feels a little deja vu this year because you guys came so close last year. And I remember we had you on the show last year. I think we had Flint Rasmussen. And then previous years, we've had some of the members of the 1984 national championship team. You came so close last year, but now here you are. You're playing the unranked Illinois State. But that ranking system, you can throw that out the window because, boy, they have taken out some titans already in the playoffs.
Yeah, without a doubt. Whenever you get this far in the playoffs, first of all, it's hard to make the playoffs. And then to advance into the playoffs is really tough because you're playing tough teams every single week. And to do what they've done and go on the road every single week and get victories is unheard of. And so we know it's going to be a tough test, but I hope with our history and being the third championship game in 5 years for us, that this is the year that we get over the hump. But I think it's going to be an exciting, well-fought game between the Big Sky and the Missouri Valley, and hopefully this time it's the Big Sky's time to come out on top with the Bobcats.
Yeah, what a weekend it had to be. I saw the one and only Flint Rasmussen was your MC for the big party down there. You had country music star Sarah Evans play, 7,000 Bobcat fans just at that event alone in Nashville. Sounds like a lot of the Illinois State fans were able to drive in today. Just what was the weekend like for the Bobcat fans down there?
Yeah, I'm hearing a bunch of stories. One of the maybe blessings in disguise is I'm staying out with the team. And so we're at the Gaylord Opryland, which is about, 10 miles from downtown and about a 20-minute ride. So I didn't really get to take part in a lot of those festivities, but I've been doing the same thing as kind of watching some things online and on social media. But everything that I'm hearing is there are Bobcats everywhere who are kind of taking over Nashville. And I think Nashville sets up really well for an event like this just because when you're downtown, all of the hotels are next to each other, and the Broadway Street is in walking distance, and it's really easy to meet up with Bobcat fans. And when you look back at Frisco, it was a great city to have the championship, but it's so spread out. This just provides a better atmosphere, better environment, I think, for what we are looking for in a championship. And so we're really excited, and I know Bobcat fans are excited, especially after seeing them all last night at the Bash.
Well, I don't think I've spent time in Nashville really since I went to air assault school with the Army back in, like, what, 2003, I think it was. But I remember just such a cool town, you know, all the live country music. You can walk into any random bar and you're going to hear the coolest country music you could possibly ask for, live music. And so it's got to be a ton of fun, and certainly fits in with the cowboy culture at what we used to call Moo U at Montana State University.
I think our fans, all the Bobcat fans that came from Montana and really from all over, it just kind of feels like home a little bit. And they fit right in. And, with how many we're seeing and the fun that they're having, I can tell you they really do fit in Nashville.
But as I understand it, what I'm seeing and hearing out of Coach Vegan and that the team's saying is like, okay, you're at the Opryland, you got country music, you got flashing lights. It'd be so easy to just be in the honeymoon phase of this whole thing. Maybe that's what happened in previous years. Maybe. I don't know. But they're like, no, this is no honeymoon for the team. Everybody else, they may be out there, you know, for the team. They're all focused on tonight. You've got to turn off the Opryland. You've got to turn off the live music and focus on the work ahead.
Exactly right. It's, they've been using the term, it's a business trip, right? It's no different than the first game of the season or the middle of the season or even the playoff games. It's the same. It's the same mindset. It's the same attitude, kind of block everything out, go 1-0. And the good thing about this game is that there's no other game after this. You go 1-0 today and tonight, and you're a national champion. And so that's purely the focus.
I got a great phone call earlier this morning from Mike Puffhausen in Butte, who played with the Carroll College National Championship teams and actually produced a documentary kind of not just about that, but just about really the quality of the stock here in Montana, in North Dakota, in South Dakota for these football teams. Tell us about the quality, you know, the quality of athletes and players, especially the Montana kids. What are the storylines you're going to be watching or you think Montanans will be watching in particular tonight for the people who maybe don't know all the players in the teams?
Yeah, you know, there are a ton of them. And I think the number is 44 Montana kids on our roster. And, of course, I think everybody first goes to, you know, the Dollar Twins and, you know, what Caden has done here on the defensive side of the ball and, becoming the defensive player of the year in the Big Sky. And obviously we all know what Taco can do when he has the ball in his hands. I mean, those are great storylines. And then you have, you know, Adam Jones running the ball. You have Zach Cruz, Kenneth Iden, you know, all of these guys that played against each other in the state in high school. And they're all making, you know, really big plays for the Bobcats. And so you can go on down the line. Cole Taylor at linebacker, Bryce Grevy at linebacker, his brother played last year. I mean, all these guys were superstars in the state of Montana, and they're all contributing in a huge way for the Bobcats. And I think those stories are great. I think it gives, you know, kids like my kids who are growing up watching them, gives them hope that, hey, you know, you work hard and, you know, you could achieve some great things, you know, down the road when you're a little bit older. And I know my kids look up to them. I know there's a lot of kids across the state that look up to these guys. And I know they want to go do it for the state of Montana and really for all Bobcats that are out there.
I guess what else do you want to tell folks across Montana before I throw it in any other direction?
Well, you know, I just want to say, I want to thank all Bobcat fans. It's been an unbelievable ride, not just this year. I think this year has kind of been a culmination of a lot of different things, but they've really shown their support, not only for the athletic program and the football program, but for the entire university. And, you know, what we're doing as a university, it isn't happening across the country a lot, where our enrollment is growing, our campus is growing, our facilities are growing. And that's allowed our athletic department to really dream big and to have big, lofty goals and have the support of the university behind us. And then, you know, once you have that, you know, as your foundation, then we have the support of the alumni that could be anywhere in the country that are supporting us because they love what's going on. Again, like I said, not just in the athletic department, but all across the university. So, you know, just a big thank you goes out to all Bobcats that are out there that are helping us, be on this run and hopefully complete this run tonight.
Well, Leon Costello, yeah, great to have you on this show, the athletic director for Montana State University. Appreciate you calling in from Nashville. It was fun earlier, you know, talking with William Lamberty, and while I was on the phone with him, you know, he says, hey, good morning, guys, and here's some of the players just walking right in, like one of the Grebe brothers, you know, walking right in to go have breakfast. And so it's just got what a fun ride to be a part of for you in particular. How, if you had to, like, summarize how the Bobcats built the program that they have today. If I'm not mistaken, talking to some of my good, you know, good friends who are Bobcat friends, as a UM guy myself, right? They pointed, a lot of them will point back to a quarterback club that said, hey, we want to build a dominating program. And it was kind of that club that really kicked things off. But really, it's the broader success of MSU and the success of their, you know, their engineering programs and the success of these academic programs that's really, frankly, the success of Montana that's kind of helped build the program as well.
I agree. It's, you're not going to be successful if you have an athletic department that stands alone. You need the foundation of a great university, and our university has been growing, for the past 20 years. And what the university has done has allowed departments like the athletic department and other departments that are on campus, like engineering and like what we're seeing in nursing and what we've seen in the business school, it's allowed all of these departments to have big, lofty dreams. And having the support of a successful university, I think, is great for everybody. But I think, you know, if you're speaking in terms of the football program, you know, I think it's the foundational level. It's, we've hired an unbelievable coach who truly understands what his program should look like. And he's recruited to that. And, you know, vastly he's done it with high school kids. And like we've talked about, 44 of those high school kids came from the state of Montana, and he has developed them over time. And I think it's kind of runs parallel to what we've seen and how the university has grown, and really we've kind of developed from within. And sometimes you have to go find some other pieces, some other places, but for the vast majority of it, that foundation is right here in the state of Montana and it's home. And I think there's just a lot of parallels to how the university has grown, to how our athletic department has grown, and really how this football program has grown. And it's been a fun ride, but we don't want that ride to end quite yet. It's we got one more to go, and hopefully for years to come that we can continue the success.
Well, and that one more ride tonight, and then they can finally let their hair down and enjoy Nashville a little bit, maybe, before they head back home to Montana. Leon Costello, great to have you on the show. Thanks so much for calling in.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and go Cats.
All right, appreciate having you on the show. 406-294-0970, the number for you. Quick break here on Montana Talks. What do you want to talk about? What's your take on the big news over the weekend with the arrest of the narco-terrorist socialist dictator Nicolai Maduro? That's right, it's Nicolai, not Nicholas. We'll talk about that and more coming up. Open phones for you right after this.
This is where Montana Talks at with Lane Nordlund.
Last week, China announced it will be curbing beef imports starting January 1st, imposing an extra 55% tariff on shipments that exceed new quota limits. As Beijing moves to protect its domestic cattle industry, Reuters reports China has set a 2026 import quota at 2.7 million metric tons, below recent shipment levels from key suppliers like Brazil, Australia, and the United States. The measures will remain in place for 3 years, with quotas increasing slightly each year. Chinese officials say surging beef imports have hurt domestic producers, while analysts note China's beef sector struggles to compete with lower-cost exporters such as Brazil and Argentina. Imports are expected to decline in 2026 as a result. The move comes amid a global beef shortage and record-high prices for consumers in parts of the world, including the U.S. Exporters, especially Brazil, are warning the tariffs could cost billions in lost revenue, while Australia has called the decision disappointing despite its free trade status with China. In other news for the new year, USDA's Natural Resources Conservation Service has announced a January 15th batching deadline for the first funding round of key conservation programs. The deadline applies to EQIP, CSP, Ag Conservation Easements, Ag Management Assistance, and the new NRCS Regenerative Pilot Program. NRCS, as the national timeline, gives producers clarity and ensures continued access to conservation funding and technical support. Go Bobcats! I'm Lane Nordlund.
Big topics, big ideas, big sky, Montana Talks.
All right. let me just read the write-up here from Fox News Radio to recap some of the news following the weekend's events. Yeah, as I mentioned earlier with Senator Steve Daines, I slept in on Saturday morning. I slept in till about 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. Yeah, that's sleeping in for me. And one of the first notifications that I had, the first notification that I saw at least on my phone, was a True Social post by President Donald J. Trump announcing the capture of this narco-terrorist socialist dictator, who, by the way, is not the legitimate president of Venezuela. And he was announcing his capture by U.S. forces. What remarkable news to kick off the new year. And also, isn't it kind of ironic that you had a socialist take over the Big Apple, and then 2 days later, they take down a socialist dictator in Venezuela? And I joked earlier this morning, I don't know if you heard the breaking news, Tampon Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, is not running for re-election. So I joked that that Team Trump has taken down and toppled another socialist dictator, with Tim Walz announcing that he's not going to run for re-election as governor of Minnesota. But here's the Fox News Radio report here. Nicolai Maduro's capture was swift, blindfolded, handcuffed, and delivered into U.S. custody, announced with a casual Happy New Year post. The viral images sent a clear F-A-F-O message, which basically means mess around and find out. Those of you don't know what F-A-F-O means, Maduro knows what it means now. A sharp reversal from the now infamous videos of Maduro dancing that reportedly helped trigger Trump's decision. Even former CIA director John Brennan, no Trump fan, called the strike flawlessly executed. The operation followed months. Again, this is a Fox News Radio report. The operation followed months of CIA intelligence and coordination with elite units like Delta Force, with U.S. aircraft striking near Caracas as special operators breached Maduro's residence. Trump warned Venezuela's new leader, Delcy Rodriguez, that, quote, if she doesn't do what's right, she is going to pay a very big price, probably bigger than Maduro. And so anyway, but yeah, you think about it. Look at these protesters in Missoula. I mean, you just have to shake your head. So we have this incredible news, this tyrant, this socialist dictator, this narco-terrorist thug who turned, you know, I talked about the Big Apple of New York City. And by the way, look at all the wormholes that the socialists have dug into the new, into the Big Apple. They've destroyed New York City with all the wormholes they've dug into that city. The reason New York is in affordability crisis right now is because of the very Democrats that they just gave more power to in New York City. In a similar regard, when we talk about the wormholes that are in the Big Apple, let's now talk about the crown jewel. What used to be the crown jewel of South America, in Venezuela. This was one of the wealthiest countries on the planet. And socialism absolutely destroyed that country. I was talking with Montana State Auditor James Brown earlier this morning. His dad was in the CIA. And so obviously this news, he was just, you know, just amazed by, and he thought of his dad. And the intelligence that it took to deliver this type of a takedown and this type of a victory. But, you know, he was talking about, you guys remember when you would see the news reports about how the people of Venezuela were forced to killing zoo animals so they had food to eat? That's what socialism does to a country. You take a crown jewel and you shatter it. You take the Big Apple and it's filled with wormholes. Nobody wants a bite. But let's just go back to who Nicolai Maduro was. What has been the biggest, if not one of the biggest, the biggest news stories here in Montana? It's been this criminal, illegal alien invasion of our state. Narco-terrorists, whether it's the Mexican drug cartels or the Tren de Aragua thugs. Nicolai Maduro, opened up the doors at the prisons and released these thugs, Tren de Aragua, a violent Venezuelan prison gang, opens up the jail cells and ships them to the United States of America to launch war in the streets of America. And that's exactly what they did. Okay, I was looking at some of the numbers. If you want to go from Puerto Rico, right? Puerto Rico is a United States territory. In fact, 20 years ago, I was in Iraq, and we had some great Puerto Rican National Guard guys who manned one of the observation posts watching our backs for us while we were out roaming the streets of Ramadi, Iraq. Puerto Rico is as close to Venezuela as Denver, Colorado is to Billings, Montana. These Tren de Aragua thugs showed up in massive numbers in Aurora, Colorado. Remember how Democrat politicians like Congressman Jason Crow, remember the fake news anchors on, what was it, CBS? And they were downplaying. These videos came out showing these Tren de Aragua thugs basically running these apartment complexes and threatening anybody inside these apartment complexes in Aurora, Colorado, which is a suburb of Denver that my mom used to live in. And they said, oh, well, it's just a handful of apartments. And that's when, you know, Vice Presidential candidate J.D. Vance at the time was like, really, really, Margaret, are you listening to yourself right now? Just a handful of apartments. And then we saw, once the spotlight went on Aurora, Colorado, then we started to see these Tren de Aragua thugs showing up here in Montana. And just like the Mexican drug cartels, they especially wanted to target Indian country. And they wanted to target our Native American Indian reservations. And who stood up for these Tren de Aragua thugs? Who stood up for these Mexican drug cartels and this illegal alien invasion of America? The Democrats. Somebody needs to say it. They stood with the cartels. They stood with the Tren de Aragua thugs. Not with Native Americans. Not with you. And so, Jocelyn Nungri. Remember that young woman who was raped and murdered, slaughtered? Tren de Aragua. We've had Tren de Aragua thugs arrested right here in Montana. So don't tell me this is not America first when this takedown happens right here in our Western Hemisphere. But let's go back to Missoula. Here we go again. And you have Democrats in Missoula protesting President Trump on a bridge in Missoula. They're standing there supporting this narco-terrorist dictator who used to be in Venezuela. I mean, that's the seriousness of the situation. Is that how much Trump derangement syndrome is out there? But I don't think this is just simply Trump derangement syndrome that we are seeing out of the Democrats in Missoula right now. By the way, where are all these Democrat candidates for office? Where do they stand on this? Why didn't we see any press releases or tweets or stuff? Maybe I missed it. Why didn't we see any reaction from them celebrating the news or, frankly, even attacking the news on Saturday? I see one, Riley Neal, who's a Democrat candidate for the Senate. She's attacking. She's calling it an unlawful blah, 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 whatever. But at least she has the courage to say something, say what she believes. Where's all these other Democrat candidates? The liberal media in Montana will do these puff pieces on them all the time. Why aren't they asking them questions about, well, hey, tell us where you stand? But already a protest in Missoula. It was pretty funny. I saw this story by NBC Montana yesterday. Actually, it was Tim and Savage. Tim Tharp in Savage, Montana, sent me the flyer that the Western Montana Democratic Socialists of America sent out. Protest the U.S. invasion of Venezuela and the kidnapping of its president on the Bear Tracks Bridge. Isn't that the bridge that the city government in Missoula was told not to build? And then they spent millions building it anyway, and then now they have to tear it down because traffic. Anyway, yeah, my goodness. We demand the Trump administration cease any attempts to control Venezuela's government and steal their natural resources. We demand our political representatives condemn this mockery of international law and sovereignty. So the Western Montana Democrat Socialists of America, and apparently the Democrat candidates here in Montana, they they don't think the Nuremberg trial should have happened. Because how many world leaders and world military leaders have been arrested and faced prosecution for their crimes, going back to the Nuremberg trials, maybe even before that? These people are nuts. These people are absolutely nuts. But the comments on this NBC Montana page were absolutely great. I'll share a couple of those with you right after this. Plus, phone lines are open, 406-294-0970. If you call in right now, we should be able to get to you before we run out of time. Great message from Evan and Belt I'll share as well.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, jumping right into the phone lines here, 406-294-0970. Yeah, if you go to MontanaTalks.com, you'll see this headline, "Already a protest in Missoula. The NBC Montana comments are gold." Michael Blakely wrote, "These are the No Kings people, right?" Yeah, they love having a king, a narco-terrorist king in Venezuela. Oh, man. Let's see. We got Tex in Billings on the phone lines. Tex, great to hear from you. What's your thoughts?
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Set this up a bit. I went to an all-boys boarding school in high school in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Interestingly enough, my roommate, or one of them, was from Venezuela. And I texted him this morning, and I said, "What did you think of Maduro's Uber ride?" His comment back to me, he says, "Hello, Tex. Good morning." He said, "It's been 26 years of terrorism in Venezuela with Maduro. Thanks to USA and Trump, it became the end of that suffering and pain the Venezuelan people have living. Thanks, Tex, for your support. Have a nice day, buddy, friend."
That's awesome.
So it's interesting, all these people from, you know, the libs are going nuts, but they don't have a clue of what the Venezuelan people were living under.
Well, and that's another great reminder. Remember when our country was being invaded by Trende Aragua gangbanger thugs from Venezuela, and Biden was abusing the refugee asylum process to allow the invasion to continue? If you criticize that, they said, "Well, don't you care about the people of Venezuela? Don't you care?" Well, it's pretty clear they don't care about the people of Venezuela. They never cared about the people of Venezuela. They simply wanted to import the third world into America to turn America into the very socialism some of the people were fleeing.
That's absolutely right. That's why a quarter of Venezuelan population left under Maduro and now live in the United States.
And sounds like a lot of them are going to head back now once things really get
smart. No, they
want
to go home.
Yeah. I mean, it's a beautiful country. I've never been there, but everything I've heard is a beautiful country. I mean, it used to be, like I say, the crown jewel of South America, and then socialism destroyed it.
Yep, absolutely. But I just thought it interesting to have a comment directly from Venezuela, and, I mean, those are the ones that count.
That's right. Well, thanks for sharing, Tex. Great to hear from you. Happy New Year. Appreciate you calling in. Let's see. I think we got another caller on the phone lines. Caden will send our way right now. I think one of the best responses to the news over the weekend, if you ask me, this is also on that Montana Talk story. I think one of the best responses of the weekend, Senator Tim Sheehy shared an old post on X by Joe Biden. This was Joe Biden. "Trump talks tough on Venezuela, but admires thugs and dictators like Nicolai Maduro. As president, I will stand with the Venezuelan people and for democracy," Senator Tim Sheehy says. This aged about as poorly as Joe Biden. Greg Franks in Billings next up on the phone lines. Greg, what's going on? Thanks for the call.
Good morning, Aaron. Hey, you're mentioning those protests in Missoula. Those weren't just happening in Missoula. Those happened all across the nation by the Democrat Socialists. Yeah. And they all had the exact same signs, the printing mechanisms. People think that they're useful idiots, which they are, but they're very well organized and able to get that information out to set up these protests within 11 hours of Trump removing Maduro from office.
That's a great point. Yeah, because it was clearly coordinated. And that was some of the comments on the NBC Montana Facebook page. It was like, wow, look at all these fancy, nicely printed signs. That didn't just, well, it did just happen overnight, but it didn't just happen overnight because people got mad and broke out their markers and bought whiteboards down at Hobby Lobby. Like, this is orchestrated by these very left-wing mega donors that have been funding all the anti-Trump stuff.
It's AstroTurf, and they have these paid sippants that show up and do their protesting and do their bidding at any given obstruction that they want to do. And I think that's something that needs to be looked in, because that is clearly some assertion of trying to overturn this country.
Exactly right. Just like the BRICS that would show up in these cities when the Antifa woke white leftists would try to start burning down these cities during the Black Lives Matter riots or anything else, we're seeing these paid propagandists, Antifa activists, getting a lot of money from these left-wing mega donors that fund the Democrat Party, agents of chaos on the streets of America.
Paid insurrectionists is what they are.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
All right, Aaron, we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Hey, thanks, Greg. Yeah, great to hear from you. Let me see. Oh, I got the message from Evan and Belt I didn't read yet here. Okay, here we go. Evan and Belt sent us this message. In the 1828 Webster's Dictionary, patriotism was defined as love of one's country, defending it from invasion, or protecting its rights and maintaining its laws and institutions in vigor and purity. Patriotism is the characteristic of a good citizen, the noblest passion that animates a man in the character of a citizen. Fast forward to the 2004 Merriam-Webster's Dictionary, where it is defined as love for or devotion to one's country. Now, in my view, this is from Evan and Belt, the latter is a watered-down, simplistic definition driven by sheer emotion and no action. That is why, in my opinion, all these weak-kneed liberals have a huge issue with Trump bringing Maduro to justice. But just like most of the communist left, everything is based on emotion and nothing factually based. Evan says, we are now safer because of a strong leader and our great U.S. military.